Now, little lesson. Never put chewing gum in your mouth. If you're about to preach, you don't have a plan for getting rid of it. No, I wouldn't do that to you, darling. How's my wife? She just holds her hand out. Excuse me one sec.
What are you doing?
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, behind my ear. Well, it's okay behind some people's ears, but actually it might work behind my left ear. I'd stick it down a bit. For those of you who mock me for having one ear that stands out more than another. Who said they've never noticed? Oh, bless your heart. Lois, thank you. You have now, though, haven't you? Yeah. Three operations of my left ear have left it sticking out more than the other one, and I'm not self-conscious about it. No? Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. Okay. In fact, many years ago, the kids at East Warby School, where I'm the chaplain, as well, I turned up there one day and the grade 5-6 kids had all been making little busts in art, little clay busts. And the art teacher instructed them to make busts of a famous Australian, and a whole bunch of them, for some bizarre reason, decided to make a bust of me. But they all made these little clay heads with one ear sticking out more than the other. Anyway, those are the same kids that used to rush at me when I turned up and rub my head for good luck. Like, oh, gee, I'm a good RE teacher. I've done my job here well. When Joe and I set up our caravan in the caravan park for our big January break, we set it up, not intentionally, it's just the way it happens, within less than a 2-minute stroll from no fewer than 5 other pastors and at least as many other elders and church leaders, all of whom are dear friends of ours. And it never really dawned on me before until I started thinking about it. And so over the course of the following 3 weeks of our break, you can imagine how many conversations about faith and about church life take place. And Joe and I have time when we're there, time and space to reflect on the life and times of River Valley in the previous year, on our own personal leadership, and that of other churches, represented by those other 5 pastors and another half a dozen or so leaders, as we take time to listen to their stories and reflect, as I said, on River Valley, on our own leadership, and also on their stories and the life and times of their churches. Each of the churches represented there love God. They all accept the Bible as the infallible word of God. They promote a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They all embrace the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All of them excellent churches. But none of them are the same. They're all different. And that's as it should be. They all have, even though all having in common, loving God and fostering personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, trusting in his word, the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, they all have those things in common. Yet they're all different as well. And we ought to celebrate that. Because if all churches were the same, there's a whole bunch of us who would have a huge problem. You know, identical cookie-cutter churches don't provide any opportunity for churches to respond to their own communities or to respond to the unique call that God's placed on them. Having said that, there are, I believe, some non-negotiable additions that every church ought have. And when I say additions, I'm talking about accepting God, accepting Christ, accepting the Bible as the infallible word of Christ, understanding the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. In addition to that, I think there are a couple of non-negotiables. And one of those non-negotiables is what we at River Valley call the ABC of RVC. These are the absolute basics of how we're called to do life at River Valley. And they are, in my view, or they ought to be the basics of any Christian church. And whilst next Sunday we will take the time to properly launch 2014 for River Valley, and Kids Min starts next week, and a whole bunch of other things, and some other things we want to share with you as the year about the year that's going to unfold. Just wanted to take time out today to remind ourselves of these absolute basics, the ABC of River Valley, that speak about the way that we ought to do life with one another. Now, these are in addition to our vision, which Mick mentioned earlier, this vision to see this community come to Christ, to see a revival in the township of Millgrove and in the wider valley, to see people dancing in the streets because they know and they've accepted and found the love of Jesus Christ. In addition to our mandating scriptures, we've got a bunch of scriptures that talk about why we exist. And then we've got these three very basic things, the ABC of River Valley. And I know many of you have heard them before, but I think we need at least an annual reminder, because as I said, they speak about the way we ought to do life with one another. Anyone know or remember the A? See, this is why we need to do it. Either you're just shy, or which is unlikely at River Valley, or it's why we do it. We need to do it every year. And you'll know it as soon as you hear it. You go, oh, yeah, that's right. The A is for accept one another. You see what I mean? It ought to be a given. Every church that acknowledges Christ, that calls itself a Christian church, ought to have as a basic foundation of the way it does, it walks out its Christ-centered life, this notion of accepting one another. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, I use that phrase only because it's a phrase. Was it a movie or was it a line from a movie? It was actually a movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That's why I use the phrase, but I need to say this. I don't like the word ugly as it pertains to a person's physical appearance or a person's appearance. I don't mind using the word ugly when you're talking about the weather is ugly today. Well, that's an ugly fire. Well, that's an ugly mess in Sam's room. Right? I don't mind using it like that, but when it comes to a person's physical appearance, God convicted me quite deeply about that many years ago, and I've shared that story with some of you, no need to share it again. But the reason I don't like the word ugly in relation to the way a person looks is because I don't think God uses ugly when he looks at us, when he looks at people. There is no such word in his vocab as he looks at the human form or an individual to say that person's ugly, doesn't exist. So I just use the phrase, it's better to say, we accept the good, the bad, and the different. And I say different because that simply means different to us. Different to, or when I say us, to me, the way I look. Imagine if everyone at River Valley Church looked like Andy Bennett. How weird would that be? But here's this thing, and it's not just I'm not talking about identity. It's just like, yeah, okay, we all look that kind of cookie cutter, rough, same shape. And if anyone's really different to that, we're going to have a problem with that. And that's never, ever, ever been part of River Valley Church. It's one of the things that I'm trying to avoid using the word proud because I don't mean it, and proud isn't proud. But one of the things that I do feel proud of is that over the years of River Valley Church, River Valley has never had an issue with accepting someone because they seem so different to us. If there ever has been that, here's the irony. It's often been not because they look really rough or unkept. It's sometimes the opposite. It's because they come in looking very clean and very shiny and very polished and dressed beautifully. And then we go, well, what they're doing in River Valley? I'm exaggerating a bit, but this notion of we accept one another, and it ought not matter what that person does, what that person looks like, what that person smells like, what that person has been doing, what that person plans to do, they find acceptance here, because acceptance is not about condoning a person's behavior. And as we accept someone, it's not saying, I condone your lifestyle, I condone what you're doing, do whatever you want, sweetheart. That's okay. We accept that. That's not what that is. Accepting is about welcoming and loving. It's about caring. It's about hospitality. And we ought to be known as a church, as every single Christian church ought to be known as a church that accepts one another, the good, the bad, the different. find acceptance in that place. And it's not my good idea or your good idea, it's God's himself. We read in Romans 15, Paul says in verse 7, accept one another. Accept one another then, just as who accepted you? Yeah. Just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. In the Message paraphrase, Peterson puts it like this. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it, now you do it. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. While we are still sinners, he accepted us enough to be that sacrifice for us. Accept one another. Just then as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. People crave acceptance. People crave acceptance. And if they don't find it in a Christian church, they're not likely to find it unconditionally anywhere else. The B, you'll notice as soon as you hear it, the B is for build up. Build one another up. This is about encouragement. It's about exhortation. Accept one another and build one another up. In Hebrews 3:13, we read, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceit. And in 1 Thessalonians, which is where I've spent my time over the last 3 weeks, reading 1 Thessalonians and got strangely caught up in the opening passages, but there's more to come on that. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read, he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Not my good idea, not leadership team's good idea. No one sat in a meeting and said, hey, I've got an idea. Let's build one another up at River Valley Church. It's God's idea. It's God's idea, and it's there right in front of us throughout Scripture, in Hebrews 3 and again in Thessalonians chapter 5 and in other places. In fact, Gil, I think it's you who puts quite a compelling argument that one of the very few reasons we ought ever meet together as a church is simply to encourage one another. Did I make that up, or you have said that? Oh, good, just checking. and there aren't a lot of reasons for gathering together other than to encourage one another, to build one another up. We live topsy-turvy lives. And what goes on in the life of a human being, Christian or not, between Monday and Saturday has to count when we turn up here on a Sunday. It has to matter to each of us during the week. And, you know, some of us come to this place on a Sunday kind of bruised, weary and weighed down. And if we come and leave without feeling that someone has encouraged us, without exhortation, without being built up, then that's, I don't think, what we're here, then we've let someone down. And we ought never do that. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. There are those with the natural ability to encourage. There are some with a spiritual gift of exhortation. But even for those who don't find encouragement comes easily, and there are those who just, that's not part of the thing that they do, I want to urge you to dig deep. Make it, be intentional and say, maybe I was never encouraged. I'm not an encouraging sort of person. Some people are really encouraging. It's that they just do it naturally. Some people have this gift of exhortation. That's great. We'll leave it to them. No, I want to suggest that, yes, it's great that they've got those abilities, those gifts, those natural things, but, you know, all of us need to dig deep and go, is there something I can do? Is there something I can say, even though it doesn't come naturally to me, to encourage someone to build one another up? And, you know, if you don't like someone's behavior, then just look a little deeper. There'll be something there, I guarantee it, that you can affirm in them. There'll be something there. The C, it's for challenge one another. And look, I've even found myself over the years sometimes just using the terms correct and challenge in a kind of interchangeable kind of way. But I'll probably favour challenge more than correct. But hey, accept one another, build one another up and challenge one another. I don't want to be left the same. Imagine that I had never been corrected or admonished in church life. Imagine that I was the same now as I was when I accepted Christ in 1980 and started teaching Sunday school the following week, spelling Jesus, J-E-S-E-S. Right. Gave my heart to the Lord, teaching Sunday school the next week, have a seven-year-old correct me on how to spell Jesus. Right. My first correction, as a Christian in church life, or all the other things that I was, that I am even now. Imagine that I never got corrected. Imagine that none of you ever admonished me, corrected me, counseled me, guided me. Imagine I was always the same. I don't want to be the same. I've been corrected, I've been taught, I've been told off. Some of it's been done badly. Much of it has been done really well. And much of it, most of it, I'm happy to say, which is probably why I'm not a bitter and twisted individual, mostly. Most of it's been done by people who have first accepted me and built me up. And then they've challenged me. And the people who have admonished me the most and corrected me the most are the ones who have been most in relationship with me. And other people as well. In Colossians chapter 3, and many of you know is a personal favourite of mine. Colossians 3, verse 16, but I'll read from verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. With all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. The Amplified Bible. And for those of you who don't know, the Amplified is a Bible with extra words in it. Simply takes certain words, certain phrases, and just expands on them just for the purpose of some insight. And theologically, for the most part, very, very, very sound. Listen to how the Amplified Bible, the extra amplifications, if you like, the words to that verse. Let the word spoken by Christ, the Messiah, have its home in your hearts and your minds and dwell in you in all its riches as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom. Accept one another. Build one another up. Challenge one another. Having said that, I think that correction, as I said, ought to come from relationship. In this, it's really convenient that C comes after A and B. Accept, build up. Out of the context of relationship, we win the right, I'm not sure it's the best phrase, but it'll do for now, we are more likely to have the right to speak correction or admonishment, or challenge into someone's life. You know, I don't want to hear that someone has turned up here for the first time, met someone for the first time, and the word that they go out with is a word of correction or admonishment from the person they have just met, possibly the first Christian they've met, who knows. That ought to come first when they've been accepted. They've been built up. Relationship has been formed. And then pull a person aside and say, Joe, we need to talk. It's usually what she says to me. It must never be done by anyone who doesn't understand the speck and the log principle. When Jesus gave that very amusing analogy of saying, make certain you take the log out of your own eye before you attempt to move the speck from someone else's. My favourite quote of 2013 is from an anonymous source, and it appeared in an article on homosexuality. and it's this. Christians get very angry toward other Christians who sin differently than they do. It's going to take some beating in 2014, is my favourite quote, I tell you. Christians get very angry toward other Christians who sin differently than they do. We need to be very mindful of that as we bring challenge and correction to people's lives. Having said that, I still want us to do it. That's why it's part of the ABC of River Valley Church. I don't want a church that's just A and B. Accept and build one another up. No, we need to be different. I need to be different. I don't want to be the same at the end of 2014 as I am now. I need to be better version at the end of 2014 than I am now. And that comes because people would challenge me. Colossians chapter 3 also says, over all these things, put on love. As Colossians 3 uses that powerful imagery of all these things that God would have us put on, these things that we would wear. He says, over all of them, put on love. And I've spoken about that a lot. But the same applies with these things. The ABC of River Valley Church, as we have a renewed vigour to accepting, to building one another up, to challenging one another, we always do it, we must do it, out of the context of love. Over all these things, we put on love. The ABCs ought to be the norm in all churches. Imagine, it's like, seriously, just take a moment to imagine this. Imagine that all over the world, because there are Christian churches all over the world, imagine that all over the world, every person knew that if they were somehow to become involved in a Christian community, church, Christian organization, whatever, that every person all over the world knew that if they were somehow to walk into a church or become part of a Christian community, they would know that at the very least, they would know that it would be a given that there they would find acceptance, that there they would be built up, that there they would be challenged. And that was a given. That was a non-negotiable given. That everyone in the world knew that if I stumble into a Christian community at the back blocks of Kazakhstan, one of the Steins, Stan, why not pick that one? Somewhere, I'm going to find acceptance. I'm going to be built. I'm going to be encouraged. And I'm going to be challenged. Imagine that people knew that. We need to guard our ABC at River Valley. We need to improve on them because we're not there yet. We've messed it up plenty of times. We'll mess it up again because we're full of humans. But we need to guard them and we need to improve them. And all of us have the responsibility in doing that. This is not Jenny's and Judy's job. Certainly they might be the masters of it in some ways, but it's not their job. It's the job of every single one of us to accept, to build, and to challenge. Simply because God asks it of us. He wants that of us. He wants that for River Valley. He wants that for his church. And he wants it for a very good reason. Because out of it comes peace and unity. And out of it comes the glory for his kingdom here on earth. And when that happens, everyone's a winner. Everyone wins. Let's share communion this morning. For those of us who are regular part of River Valley Church, it's like a family gathering around the communion table. For those who are visiting, for those who are new, you may not even know the person standing next to you receiving communion, but know this, that we're a people who are really imperfect at River Valley. In some ways, after 12 years, we're still building the bridge as we go across it. But we love God with all our heart. We know that Jesus died for us even while we were still sinners. We accept and we embrace and we seek after the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe his word is infallible. And because of those things, we want to be a people of acceptance, a people of encouragement, of building people up, and of people who would challenge. So if you know Christ, share communion with us this morning. There's two tables, one at either side of the room. In a moment, just come, help yourself to the cup and the bread, and just go wherever you want. Go back to your seat, stand somewhere in the room, kneel in the room, whatever you want to do. Just you, the God who knows you and adores you. And with the knowledge that you're part of a body who is committed to accepting, to building, and to challenging. Father God, as we gather around the Lord's table this morning, because you said, do this until you return. And we will do it in memory of you. We will do it, Father God, bringing our confessions before you. We will do it, Father God, with hearts after you. We'll do it, Father God, for ourselves and for our wider body. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Father God, that we need not go home exactly the same way we came in. That for those of us who are carrying the burden of pain or the burden of sin, there is cleansing, there is forgiveness in this place, around this communion table. We thank you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Come help yourself to communion.